Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Roger North, and this is True North. Today is going to be, I think, a very, very special, very powerful show. We're going to look at how to empower yourself, or more specifically, how to empower yourself through awareness, because I believe that all empowerment starts with awareness. And, you know, I'm someone who's been on my own personal journey probably my whole life now, looking back on it. And so I wanted to kind of discuss this matter with our guest today, Mickey Jacobs, M-I-K-I Jacobs, at MickeyJacobs.com. That's M-I-K-I-Jacobs.com. She's also the author of the recent book, Three Minute Wisdoms, Daily Spiritual Principles That Will Activate the Power and Wisdom for Your Soul. Just a little bit about Mickey. She's a medium and spiritual teacher. She was born in Israel and raised there in a typical Jewish upbringing. She served in the Israeli army, which I guess everyone has to, and then she came to the U.S. in 1987, and she practiced Jewish customs and beliefs. Anyways, as she went on her spiritual journey, she found there were a lot of unanswered questions. And so she started investing a lot of time in learning and studying the art of meditation and various healing techniques, including becoming a Reiki master. Over the years, as her skills got better, she was able to tune to higher vibration frequencies. And she started receiving messages from Archangel Michael. And these messages were truly fascinating. They were very simple. They were very clear and loving, which I think is the essence of truth. Truth is simple, clear, fascinating. It's loving, and it's all interconnects, in my experience. Some of these messages had to do with the challenges she was facing in her own life, while others were various issues that us human beings are facing. Over the years, she kept her communication channel open with this magnificent Archangel and continued to receive powerful messages and valuable information that she shares. And with that, I want to welcome Mickey to the show. Mickey, how are you doing today?
I'm very well. I'm glad to be here. Thank you, Roger, for inviting me.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad that we're able to do this. I've been very excited about this because the thing is, I do some shows that are on problems, and we do need to deal with problems, but you also need to deal with solutions. I mean, my last show was a fairly heavy show. It dealt with some very, very tough issues that people really don't want to hear about, but we have to look at reality. And, you know, but the other side of it is, the whole idea is you get the awareness and you do something with the awareness. You know, like I've done shows on chemtrails and on Satanism. I've done shows on, you know, pedophilia at high levels in the government. I mean, some very, very hard shows. But the idea is always that the information is, I'm not just giving this information to bum you out or to shock you or to make you feel bad or angry, but to empower you in some way. And, you know, and because different information is for different people, basically. And so I wanted to really kind of talk about the subject with you today. I'm really, really looking forward to this. Mickey, can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into this so we can kind of understand where you're coming from?
Yes, of course. You know, I grew up in Israel, as you mentioned, and in being raised in an Orthodox Jewish home, and arrived to the U.S. about 20-plus years ago, and it just religion didn't make sense to me, Roger. I mean, all kind of rules and regulation, you know, that you got to follow certain rules that obviously been wrote by human beings. So I started exploring something else, and spirituality and the Creator is energy, and our true natures as souls. And then from that I got into meditation, and I just sharpened my sixth sense, just for the lack of a better word, and able to connect to spirits. And it was quite a ride since then. I mean, obviously, once I gather my energy and knowledge and ability and skills, and doors open up in a way that I try to reach out to people and spread spirituality, once again, just a word. And now that's what I do. I have great few passion to teach people about the amazing, beautiful, true self that we have within us, which whom we need to align ourselves with so the world won't look the way it is today. Sure. I teach about the ego, meaning the negative part of us as byproduct human being. And of course, first and foremost, I enjoy teaching about the concept of the team, meaning that we have group of spirits that accompany each one of us while we are here on planet Earth. So I'm very, very much passionate about my work as a spiritual teacher and a medium, and I just, like yourself, I'm very much aware of dark forces. Of course, we cannot have good without bad, and power mm-hmm. is information, so I think you should touch those subjects once in a while. But as mm-hmm. for myself, I kind of prefer to stick with the light, if you will, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. teach how to empower through awareness, which is exactly why I was so pleased you invite me to talk about that. But mm-hmm. both information are necessary, and hopefully we will tip the scale and humanity would take the right turn, because for right now we kind of go with our head against the wall.
Sure. I think one really important point I want to emphasize is, I mean, if you go to like an Infowars.com website, and I go there very regularly, or David Icke, Icke, you're going to see a lot of very disempowering, information apparently is disempowering. A lot of very negative things are coming up. I mean, like we're for example, now being, tricked into this engineered war in the Middle East, by this group ISIS, which is actually, of course, funded by Saudi Arabia and basically the U.S. ultimately with U.S. weapons. And, I don't want to go into that too much, but my point is we also have to see the bigger positive picture, because the negative, for want of a better expression, I think is the smaller picture. Yes, we have to deal with the negative, just like, we have to deal with things like maybe you have a fight with your spouse, but you want to be, remembering that why you're with that person and the love that you have for that person. It's just like, maybe you have to get your car fixed and you don't like doing that, but that car gives you so much freedom. And
yes.
So just using this metaphor, the small picture is very dark. The short term, there is a lot of dark things going on that we're having to deal with. I was reading this Natural News article, they're talking about Ebola, where it was genetically modified and the GMO foods are actually supporting it. And it looks like the people in charge, unfortunately at this time, are some very, very sick, very evil people. And I've dealt with this on previous shows, and I won't go into all that here. But we also, to motivate ourselves to get through this, we need to see the bigger picture. The bigger picture is wonderful. The bigger picture, I don't think we can even imagine. And, just a little point, before I hand it back on to you, is I've been doing a lot of cleansing recently with my body. I've been getting rid of a lot of toxins in my body. That's not a pleasant process, I'll tell you, but I know on the other side of it, I'll have more energy, more health, more vitality. It'll give me a much better quality of life. And so just to use this metaphor, it's like I'm toughing it through the cleansing, which I don't like to do. No one does.
Yes.
Because I know that once I cleanse, there'll be something much better on the other side of it. And that's what I think we're going through as a society. We're going through this great, great cleansing. But we need to understand that there's a reason we're going through this, and it's all going to be worth it at the end of the day, even if we have to tough it out through a lot of unpleasant information right now.
Absolutely, Roger. And I can put it in a little bit different language, if you will,
sure.
Perhaps a spiritual language,
mm-hmm.
that all what humanity is going through now, whether it is ISIS or Ebola or government or lies of the leaders, or just open the TV and see all the negativity,
yeah.
everything is for the sake of growth. That is precisely what we are doing here,
mm-hmm.
not us, Roger or Mickey, us, our souls. Higher
mm-hmm.
self, as it's called in spirituality, the energy that experience life on planet Earth. So
mm-hmm.
everything is growth. The war are growth. So we have choices, really. We can either grow through negativity, which unfortunately now that's what humanity decide. It is a choice of us as a collective
exactly.
species.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can go through positivity, which why is important, show like yourself, people like me, a lot of spiritual teacher, new people come around to cross to spread the positivity. Either way, we will grow, either from good or bad. Those consider consequences. Unfortunately, if we would continue that way, negative, another September 11, guaranteed to happen, natural disaster. I think that the water would be poisoned at some point. So,
sure.
But once again, our soul is fearless. We obviously a spark of the Creator, and either way, there's a great amount of growth to the soul, and we will get united one way or another. It depends how we choose, and right now, we choose the way you detox the body. Of course, it's unpleasant, but it's necessary.
Yeah, well, yeah, and it is necessary, and I hate to say this, but we've made it necessary. We at the end of the day, because I've really, like I said, I studied the works of David Icke, and he talks about how that behind all this evil that we see is like this very dark energy, this total distorted energy, which I believe is, for want of a better term, is the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call it. And
yes.
I really did a lot of thinking about that, and I came to the conclusion that we've created this devil, that what we've done is this is our collective shadow self coming back on us. And the thing is, it's like a boomerang. It's like you throw out a boomerang, oh, I've got this problem, I don't want to deal with this. You throw it out, and it comes
of
back
course.
On you.
It's all our choices, Roger.
We've created this. We've given away our power to deeply corrupt, deeply evil people, and it's enabled them to even go further off into this. And, you know, so we have to take our responsibility back and take our power back. And when you take responsibility, you take power back. And,
absolutely.
You know, and this is why we need the awareness of what's going on, as unpleasant as this is. And this is why, like, for example, I'm very big on supporting things like, as mentioned to you, you know, alternative media. Like, I'm a member of Prison Planet. I buy products from Alex Jones because I really respect the work that the man is doing. And we need to be aware, but we also need not to get caught up in it. We you know, because it's very easy to get overwhelmed by it, get depressed, get sad by it. But we need to see this as part of a bigger picture. And this is what I really wanted to talk to you about, the bigger picture. And, you know, it's like, because like with this cleansing I'm going through, just, and it's a great metaphor. Because I had this morning I was really tired. I had some issues this morning because I was really doing intensive cleansing. I won't go into it. But the point is, I knew, okay, this is painful. I'm not enjoying this. But I know that at the end of it, I'll be in much better health. And I'll have a much better life because of it. So you tough it out, and you have to go through the pain sometimes. But I crave the pain, because the reason I have to cleanse is because of old junk food I ate.
Yes,
so I brought
course.
This upon myself. And that's why this cleansing metaphor, which, you know, I was up 3 hours this morning dealing with it, very unpleasant, I'll put it mildly, and I was really kind of thinking I'd be too tired this morning to do this, but I'm fine. We have sometimes have to tough it through the difficulties. We crave the difficulties, and we just need to push through it. And but we need the awareness to understand why we're pushing through it. And we need the awareness to understand that there's a greater picture, and that ultimately this is going to be beneficial to us to do. And one final thing I wanted to mention is the very word problem actually means to throw forth. And so the whole idea is we like throw forth these problems so we can solve them and grow by it. And I think this to me has been very core ideas to me.
Yes, of course. And who else created the problem, if you will, or the negativity, or where we are right now as humanity, other than us? Certainly there's no God give one pleasant life and the other one not. So, yes, it's all our choices. And as I said right now, the ego, negative mind, personality, or whatever we call it, lead the way instead of the beauty of who we are, which why I go person by person, because I truly believe when I teach people, whether they come to me one-on-one or lectures, I teach them how to search for that beautiful energy that's within them. And once they found that, energy kind of spread out. So what we need is more of us to be aware and spread positivity, just to be a simple wording, and that will tip the scale. But right now, we just need to just kind of find that core. And if I may say something before, that I always warn people is to dig too much into the negativity, because it does suck you in it. Yeah. And that's okay to be informed. Obviously, you want to know what's going on there. But, you know, energy, you can just kind of suck into it and just kind of you get lost into it. And it go on and on. So perhaps I tell people, just educate yourself as to what's going on out there. But the effort needs to be about empowering yourself through your inner beauty, if you will.
Yeah. When I had Jesse Ann Nichols on my show a couple months ago, one of the things I came to the realization I was talking with her about, and this is actually before I talked to her, is when the negative arises, you want to deal with it then and there if at all possible, and then, you know, process it and deal with it, learn from it, let it go. And then, you know, you're spending most of your time being positive, you know, building, creating, making the world a better place. But when the negativity naturally arises, which it will, because it's like a lesson that you need to learn, as much as possible, you deal with it on the spot, you deal with it quickly and efficiently, and then you get back to the positive things. Then you get back to the learning, to the growing. And this is something, and I remember when I talked to Jesse Ann Nichols, I really thought was a very powerful point that, you know, she totally agreed with. And another point I wanted to make, and I want to get into talking about your teachings, but there's an old saying, if you stare in the abyss too long, the abyss stares back at you. I think I'm paraphrasing that, but we have to be very careful. And this is why I try to balance these shows, because people look at these things and they say, well, your last show was on Satanism and all this really dark stuff. But even there, we did a lot of positive things on the show, and you can see some very dark shows. But I try to balance it with more positive shows, because life is a balance. And I want you to talk about your teachings and how you help people get in touch with this energy.
Well, first you need to be aware of it, that obviously it's not who we are. Who we are is souls that experience life on planet Earth for the sake of growth, for the sake of our evolution. So that's first and foremost. If you do not authentically accept the concept as to what we are doing here, if we think that it's only Mickey here for work and money, and you know, and when I go to the grave, that's about all there is of me, then obviously I can teach you from now till 2020, and nothing would work. But which calls spiritual awareness. So first and foremost, you got to know as to what are we doing here. And it's like you mentioned before, to look at your life as a growth opportunity, challenges with spouse and war and world event. And then who we are, the true nature of us. And as I said, the soul within the body. So you align yourself with that specific energy by being like it. Being like its nature, and our soul is, like I said, fearless and wise and powerful, not ego powerful, spiritual powerful, beyond words. Yeah. So if you lead your life day after day like who you truly are, like your soul or spirit or whatever you call it, then slowly you start to align yourself with that energy as opposed to align yourself with your ego. In my teaching, I always say there's two energy field, if you will, that occupied our physical body, that of the higher self and that of the ego, or negative. Ego is not just a word, Roger. It's actually an entity that is byproduct of who we are as human being. So you choose every moment of every day of your life what energy you want to side with. And the more you side with the right energy, that's what you become, and that is what I teach. Is it an easy concept to practice? No, very difficult. The ego entity, destructive, negative, very much influence us human beings to act in negative ways. So it's a lot of work. That's called spiritual work or inner work, and it is a lot of work. But I tell people, if I did it, if I was able to discipline my ego for the most part, of course, Mickey is still human being, like all others. But for the most part, then everyone can do that. But it's need a lot of work. And now people are just, it's easy to just let your negativity act out, which what's going on in the world at the moment. Easy to be negative, to be spiritually lazy, to lash out, to be angry, greedy, jealous. It's just easy. The other work is more difficult. You need to make the effort to be like your soul, nice and kind and spiritual and playful and simple, and of course, love, love, love.
No, what you're saying is beautiful. It reminds me of a couple points, and I want to be very careful not to interrupt my guests, because sometimes I tend to do that. is that there's a story of the two wolves, where there's this wise man, this elder in his Indian tribe, and he had gathered his grandchildren around him, and he explained that we all have two wolves inside of ourselves, the dark wolf and the light wolf, and you know, and these wolves are constantly in conflict. And one of his grandchildren asked him, "Grandpa, which of the two wolves is going to win?" And to which he answered, "Whichever one you feed the most." And
nice.
Exactly. And this is where we do have exactly. And this story is probably thousands of years old, and I'm sure there's variations of it in every culture. And you know, I'm sure any culture you look at has got some version of this. And that we have a choice to what we focus on, what we feed. And, you know, none of us are perfect, and we all make mistakes. And I love your concept of being spiritually lazy, because that's what it comes down to. But it's just like the rewards go to the people who, you know, who take good care of their health. You know,
of course.
Yesterday was my mother's birthday. She died a couple of years ago. And I don't mean to be, you know, disrespectful of her, but she did not take good care of herself. And, you know, the last years of her life were really sad. It was really painful to watch the way that she died, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
In fact,
yeah.
One of my very early shows was with Rebecca Carly, where we discussed this, and explicit, very painful detail, very painful show for me personally to do.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know, like they say, to every discipline effort, there's a multiple reward. And like I said, not mean to disrespect my mother, but because she maybe didn't put enough effort into her physical health, the consequences of not doing that, there are consequences to discipline, what ultimately leads to much better things, and there are consequences to maybe not disciplining yourself as much as you need to, and it can be catastrophic, and I certainly saw it with my mother, and that's why, like I said, I've been doing this cleansing program, even though, you know, literally I got to like 2 this morning, was up to like 5, and, you know, because I probably overdid it a little bit, and you have to be careful with that. But, you know, but the thing is, we want to be careful not to be spiritually lazy and to be in tune to our higher self, because, you know, that's where the real growth is going to lie. And also, we also have to understand that, you know, no matter how bad things are, it's just temporary. It's something we just have to go through. It just, like I said, like this morning, it was a very rough morning for me. Yeah, I got through it. I'm still here. I got an amazing amount of energy. I'm feeling better. So even when we go through tough times, you sometimes have to just plow through things, but the reward might be on the other side. Maybe, you know, it's like a successful business where the guy spent 5 years building his business and dealing with all kinds of problems, and now he's got successful business, and now he's got, you know, a lot more money, and he's living a much better quality of life because he dealt with and plowed through all the problems.
Yes. You know, by the way, the way you were saying that beautiful example about the white wolf and the black wolf, I kind of, when I teach, I tell people, you know that cartoon when there is like a devil figure and an angel kind of on the shoulders? Mm-hmm. There's a cartoon out there. Anyway, so the point is that those two energies are very much real, and they very much, you know, occupy the body. And once you stick with the right energy of the higher self, you start enjoying the consequences. I get scared now, Roger, when I'm not aligned with my higher self. I get scared in a way that the world is coming back. All of a sudden, I can't be without it anymore. So it's kind of like a diet, you know, when you kind of start to get into it once you see that your jeans fit your pants, you know, fit your body, and you start looking better in the mirror. So until then, it's very difficult, and of course, most people fall off the wagon, if you will. But once you start seeing it, you get cheered up. As for things would get better, you know, I often channel spirits of suicide people. And the soul always come forward and say that when the soul reviewed the life after death, which what we do, things would have been better. Things would have been able to handle. So, yes, you're absolutely right. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how low we are, no matter how dark the world appears at the moment, or how harsh the planet is, things will get better. We also cannot forget the immense help that we get specifically from the archangels that very much, very much, immensely love us human beings and help us. So you're right, Roger, no matter how difficult things will get better, which why to kill yourself, you know, the whole concept is just about the worst we can do, because things will get better. Just need to do the work.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, there's a song of Diana Reeves, and it was called, I think, "Make It Through the Night." And she was talking about how she grew up in this. You know, she was this African American woman. She grew up in this very poor family, and her grandmother's always telling her that you got to make it through the night, and that, you know, things that there's always going to be dark days, but it's about getting through the dark days and getting to the better things.
Correct.
And I was just thinking about that, and it's kind of. It's a touching song, Diana Reeves, "Better Days." I suggest people really listen to that song. It's a wonderful song, but
nice.
You know, that we've got to, you know, it's like this. But I've also noticed that the more I trust my intuition, the stronger it gets. And I could literally, and I might start actually just doing shows where I just simply start talking about my own realizations. And I have so many realizations, I write them down. And it's a funny thing, when I was 10 years old, my mother told me, I was one time pestering her when she got home from work. She told me to write it down, and I started doing that. I've been doing it over the decades, and I've written down so much stuff, and I have all these great realizations where it's just like I suddenly know all these things. And if you trust your intuition, it will be true to you, and the more you trust your higher self, the more it will communicate to you. It's like a muscle. You build it up. And
course,
I think people need to trust themselves, and this is why we're discouraged from trusting ourselves. the mainstream media, you know, who I often bash on these shows,
yes,
globalist controlled and, you know, state run and so forth, they don't want you to trust yourself. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to trust yourself. And we, and the more we trust ourselves, the more we get that energy. Because I look at a lot of things I've written, and it's like, how did I know this?
And
I'm not being arrogant. I'm not like, aren't I smart? It's like, anyone can do this.
That's right. That's why I teach that anyone, you don't need to born a medium. Medium is just a name. Of course, we all have the higher self within us, and we all can use it. By the way, intuition is not just a name. It's a system, Roger, in which we can communicate, whether it is higher self or spirits. So with enough work, we can all do that. But we need to do spiritual work. If you have drama all day and fight and angry and jealous at the whole world and a victim, you cannot possibly activate that intuition. You have to say you have to be somewhat open and clear, and your body receptive to it. If you overweight to a point where you're just unhealthy and eat junk and fill up your system with all kind of junk, then so it's you know, just the other day I was telling Clayton, my husband, it appears as if it's constant work. I have to watch my body and my ego and discipline and meditation, and sure, I don't just show up and reading and do and connect to spirits, but it's certainly worth the effort, because then you walk around on this harsh planet aligned with the beautiful power of your soul, and it's just truly magnificent feeling. So really, that's what I'm hoping, that more and more people would get empowered by that and kind of shut off or managed or disciplined the dark wolf, if you will.
Yeah, that's a very important point. One thing else I wanted to mention, I was thinking, ironically, a guy named David Wolf, who's like this well-known kind of raw food guru, I don't know if you've heard of him, and he eats a raw vegan diet, like all organic, and it would be a diet most people would find very hard to do.
Yeah.
And what he talks about how over the years, it's gone from being a discipline to being a joy. It's like people who like every morning do yoga or something like that.
Sure.
It's like meditation. It's like, you know, I've done meditation, and if you do it consistently, I know you know this, it becomes not a discipline but a joy. You don't wake up and say, oh, God, I got to meditate again. It's not
Roger,
like an I'm
like to-do
list.
Without. There's no being without. That's why I just mentioned a few minutes ago. Once you aligned, you don't want to be the without, because the world can scare you, I mean. And absolutely, for 15 years, I get up, I do my treadmill, and I go outside and meditate. Of course, you got to do the work, and you cannot be, once again, spiritually lazy, which is easy for us as a species. So yeah, it's work. That's why we are here, to do the work, or else might as well stay in the spirit world where it's nice and comfortable.
Well said. I love that. No, but that's it. We're here to do the work, and I love that. That's what we must say in the spirit world. If we have a physical body, it's because we're meant to use a physical body.
Correct.
And the mind, exactly. We're you know, this is why it's like a balance. I mean, yes, you do meditate, but you obviously do a lot of other things. It isn't like you spend all your time in meditation. In fact, I remember reading something about
balance.
It's a balance.
Crucial.
This guy who apparently was such deep meditation, people thought he was dead, and there was like this law case, and they weren't sure if the guy was alive or just meditating. And I think the guy kind of missed the idea. We have a physical body for a reason.
Of course.
You know, we don't have a physical
course.
Body to forget that we have one. It's just like it's like Mark Passio talking about that we're here to do the work. You know, and
of
I know
course.
One of the yogic philosophy is to live is to work. We're here to do work, and you know,
of
and
course.
It's just it's part of the situation. And I hate to bring up this man's name. Maybe I won't mention his name, but there's a gentleman who one of his sayings apparently is "Do what thou wilt." And I was listening to Mark Passio talking, and he said what that really means, a deep spiritual level, is that you're doing a higher will. And, you know, and the unfortunate person who actually said this was well known for saying this was a very evil man, so it's kind of ironic. But sometimes profoundness can come even from evil people, ironically.
Of course,
but the point is that, you know, because I don't want to get into this gentleman what he did and what he was like as a person, but the point is that it's really about doing the higher will, doing what your higher self tells you to do, and doing that work. And when you're doing that, you're naturally in the jet stream of life. You're naturally in the flow. And this is something I struggle with, but, you know, this is something that I'm constantly dealing with. And there's also another very important point that I want to make, and that is I suspect the next few years are going to be more challenging than they are now, as much as I hate to say that. And there might be there's going to be a point when people, whether they live or die, could literally depend on their intuition. If this police state continues to march on, and maybe you get cut off from other sources of information, it's your access to the higher self, it's your access to this intuition, for want of a better term, that could very well determine whether you live or not, at least in this reality.
Absolutely crucial.
And this is, I know, David Icke saying, you know, people are always asking David Icke, who's, of course, done a lot of work on this, I-C-K-E, and he says, well, they said, what should I do to deal with this? He said, well, trust your intuition. Do what your intuition tells you to do. And, you know, different people, like some people might be saying an organic garden or saying a community garden. In fact, I know a gentleman in downtown L.A. who did that. It might be communicating information out. It might be, you know, teaching spiritual teachings to people. It's going to be different for different people. And for me, part of the answer I got was doing this radio show. And so I'm telling people that, you know, you're going to be in situations as this police state gets further on, where you're going to have to just turn to yourself. You're going to have to figure out what to do just through your own intuition. You're going to need to trust it, so you need to be developing it now, because down the road it could make or break you. And, you know,
That's why I teach that simple program, Roger, because what you want to do is every action or reaction or internal dialogue, really, at least at the beginning, it's a minute by minute. You ask, would my higher self act like that? If you lash out and swear or gossip or worse, then you know you go against who your higher self, which why I started by saying you act like your higher self, which is love, all based on love, and slowly it would become easier and easier. At the beginning, like a diet, like your detox, it's difficult, but it is getting better until you completely take the power away from your ego or the dark wolf or whatever. So it's simple, yet it needs a lot of practice. But
it's simple, but it's not easy. It's simple to talk about theory, but just like everyone knows what they have to do to lose weight. It's simple. At the same time, it's not easy because it requires discipline, at least at first. I remember reading a book, I think the Essien Gospel of Peace, and it's supposedly sayings of Jesus. And I'm not going to go into all into details, but I don't know, whoever wrote was a very enlightened person. And one of the things they're talking about is the way to bring out this your Christ, your higher self, whatever you want to call it, because I don't want to get into names. I don't want to get into details, like ego, dark wolf, whatever. But one of the things they said is to act like the Christ. You ask yourself, how would the higher self act? And
that's correct.
That way, that's how you bring yourself, because when you were saying that, that's what it reminded me of. And what I want to do is also, I don't want to get into nitpicking like ego or dark wolf or higher self or Christ or whatever.
Yes.
That's minutia. It's like, look at the bigger picture.
Yes,
and it's like, this is something I wanted to very much talk. And if you could tell about some of the methods that you use with your clients and what you do with them and how you help them, and give us some stories, you know, so that way people can better understand how to apply these ideas in their own lives.
Yes, of course. You kind of have to, in a way, slow down your energy. Just again, those are just names, and I agree with you, Roger, because I don't like phrases like healer or meditation or spiritual teacher, which why I always say just the word. Slow down your energy, meaning the negative part of us, ego, just for the lack of the better word, is kind of like abrupt, which why if someone cut us in the freeway, the first reaction, you know, we swear and we get upset and we have a road rage or can have a road rage. So slow down your energy essentially means you count till 10 and you wait and you think for that quick moment, again, how is my higher self would act? And essentially I tell people, if your ego want to act A, you act B. If you want to yell and react and shout, you just don't. Now people say, but so what? So the next time I will, perhaps. The next time you will, and the next time you will, and then slowly it's going to get into a habit, and then eventually you just won't. So that's what I mean by slow down your energy. Observe your internal dialogue. Every time you see there is an internal dialogue surface up, you being aware of it. Awareness of negative, whether it is internal dialogue or reaction or, you know, is essentially you shine the light of your higher self on your dark wolf or dark ego. It's literally that's what's happened. Technically, that's what's happened because I'm able to see energies. So it's difficult work in a way that you need to be very much aware of yourself every moment of your life. And it's difficult and it's hard, but possible, because I work with people and I see the change. But that's what I mean about, you know, just slowing your energy. Slow everything down and be aware of your thought, be aware of negativity and your reaction. And then eventually it would be part of who you are to just kind of turn or rather side with love as opposed to anger. So most people, Roger, it does take, you know, when they come to me and they get excited about, you know, how to do that, and it's last a little bit, few weeks, and then life rush in. It's difficult. I have never in my work seen people so scattered, so painful. Marriages have affairs, every second marriage, just people just go out to just get a fix or, you know, whatever it is. And people are hurting. The world is very harsh. A lot of people just simply bail out. They cannot take the pain anymore. A lot more discomfort when it's come to new illnesses and new disorders. So the work, the spiritual work, is double more difficult than it was a few years ago. But we must. We do not have a choice.
Exactly.
We must. So that's it. Just basically just slow down and just be aware of your inside, your weaknesses. Awareness is half the battle. It really is. And consistency, obviously, again and again and again until it's part of you.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was thinking about something kind of bizarre, but I have a fairly bad commute into work, and I have to drive on the 405 freeway, which, if you know the Southern California area, especially during rush hour, like 8 in the morning, is not a pleasant thing. But as strange as this might sound, I actually in some ways enjoy it, because often I'll have insights during the night, and I'll be like writing things down. And then when I'm driving into work, I'll be expanding on the insights. It's like sometimes issues will come up and you'll suddenly understand something. So I'm sitting there alone in my car driving into work, and usually as opposed to listening to the radio or, you know, my iPod or whatever, I'm like verbalizing my own issues and having deep and deep understanding of what's really going on.
Yes.
And I can't tell you how many insights I've gotten just by just verbalizing my own issues as I start coming up, because like when they naturally arise, just dealing with them, and for some reason, you know, at night, a lot of insights come to me, and then when I'm driving to work, I'm actually verbalizing often. I even have a tape recorder with me, a digital recorder, to record valuable ideas, and so I'm actually getting a lot of value out of that. And just to have that awareness, and then you can kind of catch yourself when, you know, like I can think of a situation where, like, the coworker, where I could see where she was reminding me of myself, you know, before I'd done a lot of this work, and I was disliking her, but was actually disliking a part of me that I was kind of disowning, because she was kind of like the way I used to be a couple of years ago. And I realized it was really me, and I was being kind of hard on her. And you know, and this is the kind of stuff that comes up where, and so this awareness is very powerful. It's a gradual thing, because at a given time, you can only deal with a tiny chunk of awareness, because it can be very draining.
Yes.
But, you know, but it's a practice. Just like with meditation, you gradually get more aware. It's like you meditate one time, or it's like you don't go to the gym one time and now you're in great shape, or, you eat one perfect meal.
No. Yes, of course. It's a muscle. You cannot possibly expect to meditate once every second week and have intuition system that is sharp, or you can do that. It's like expecting a toned body without a gym. It just doesn't work. It's which why I keep repeating, spiritual work is a lot of work. But that's what we're doing here.
Sure.
As far as our souls are concerned, we do not want to waste a life. You know, they say every day is precious, but not only because we don't want to die and we want to keep being with our loved one, because it took us a long time to plan this incarnation with all the potential lessons and soulmates, so much into an incarnation, which, of course, we plan alongside our spirit guides. So that once you authentically get it, once I got it, how precious this lifetime or journey or incarnation it is for my soul growth. I look at life different, Roger. I look at my marriage different, essentially interpersonal relationship, reflect back to you, how you supposed to grow. So I learn from Clayton, from my 20-year marriage. I learn from my job, from my work, from life, good, bad, the body, the discomfort. Once again, like I mentioned a few minutes earlier, you need to get the concept first, authentically. And once you get the spiritual concept as to what we're doing here, why the world looks the way it is, the ego, which, by the way, often people ask me if God or the Creator, once again, just a word, if he's so wise and smart, why did he put the ego there? And my answer to that, because we needed a tough opponent, because we are spiritually lazy species. And if you look at the ego for what it's there, it's to push us to change. Mm-hmm. If we all perfect, then once again, stay home, stay back home, spiritual. And here, it's what push us to change. So although obnoxious, that part of us, I really use it for growth.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one thing I know Tony Robbins talks about, he talks about problems, and I think probably more general thing would be the ego. It's like he said, the gymnasium of the mind, where yes. It's there to make us grow and make us become who we're meant to really be, become that consciously. And I think that's a very important idea. One thing I found very interesting, there's two things I'd really like you to talk about. One is you talk about like this life planning before we incarnate, and you also talked about people who've committed suicide. And, you know, what you've learned from them, I'd like to kind of expand on those two points.
Of course, dear. First of all, I always like to mention specifically people like myself that grew up religious or still have some sort of a religious background. And because religion can be confusing, like I was, you know, thinking God was a man with a beard and a cane, and if I don't follow certain Judaism rules, it's going to strike me with an illness and kill my family. So it's important to know, for example, Judaism think that if you kill yourself, it's a sin. God would punish you. You have to be buried outside the cemetery, which it's such a nonsense, Roger, of course, now that I channel spirits. When a personality or the person kill themselves, we get the most love. There are angels that accompany that soul, help the soul review the life as to why the ego took over and killed the person prematurely. So that's just one example specifically as to suicide, how wrong religion is. As for the incarnation, God, although very much there, that beautiful force that created us, spirit and all planet, he's not involved in our life. He doesn't care if we believe in him, don't believe in him, do good, do bad. Essentially, he created programs like incarnation. If we fail, we can come back again and try again. Or consequences, karma. If we act in a negative way, which we do now, we're going to pay for the consequences until we're going to destroy ourselves as a species. So he's not quite involved. We are the one that plan the life. In a lifetime or incarnation, we put all the weaknesses that we were unable to overcome in previous lives. We put karma, meaning whatever we did wrong to a human being or the universe, we have to pay in order to balance the energy. So we plan this life. So why is it important to know that you plan it? Because you, Roger, need to look at your weaknesses. Any weaknesses, specifically ones that you are unable to overcome, whatever it is, let's say anger or rage, you need to know that it stands on the way of the soul's growth because you brought it from previous life, which why it surfaces up. That's why I say observe your weaknesses. Know how precious this incarnation it is for your soul. A lot of people tell me, I don't care about the soul, you know. You should care about the soul because that's what we're doing here.
Absolutely. I want to mention a couple of points. One thing, one of the people I've also interviewed is Mark Passio. And Mark Passio on whatonearthishappening.com, his big thing is talking about natural law, and that is where they're basic laws of the universe. And, you know, the creator, God, whatever you want to call him, I don't want to get into words, but you know, we have to call it something for the purposes of this conversation. And like eagle, dark wolf, I mean, I have to give it some name that means something to people. I'm just by the nature of the situation we're in. Anyways, but he talks about how the God created, was the creator of the natural laws, which are like the boundary conditions, which basically, you know, define, you know, for example, if I pick up a pencil and I drop it, it's going to fall down. Just very, very simple example of natural law. And
yes.
And I think it is very important that we, you know, that we do deal with what we're here to deal with. And I think this is a very important idea that you're talking about, where people need to be aware that they're here for a reason and they've got work to do here, and they're meant to deal with their weaknesses, they're meant to deal with their issues. And I know that one thing, David Icke in his book, The Lion Sleeps No More, he talked about, he was working with a medium, a psychic, and she said, ponder anything you don't like. She was actually in a trance. She said, ponder anything you don't like and ask yourself why it is necessary. And basically, what is it there to teach you? Why do you have
correct.
It in your life?
Yes.
David Icke called this concept the language of life. And
yes.
I think this is a very important idea, where it's like, if there's things you don't like, why do you have them in your life? What are they there to teach you? Because
absolutely,
once they teach you
yes.
the lesson, they'll go away. And, you know, this
absolutely.
Is why I do, like I said, a lot of things where I, like, just talk to myself and bring up
yes.
all the stuff, because then I have all these great understandings.
Yes.
And if there's
yes.
something that keeps on pestering and bothering you, there's probably unlearned lessons. And
yes,
I don't know, another thing he said is that the psychic also said to him, a woman named Betty Shine, was the spiritual way is not an easy way, and there's no one there to make it easy for you. And I think that's probably true, at least at first, but down the road that isn't so much true. But it's just like a diet or anything. Someone starting a new business, someone starting a diet, someone, you know, starting a new relationship, whatever, some major thing in their life, it's usually not easy at first. But as you go along, it gets easier. Like starting a new job is not an easy thing to do, generally speaking.
That's
but it gets
correct.
Easier as time goes on. So,
yes, of course.
So I want to also say these things because I want people to see this bigger picture. And because, like I said, the other thing is this, I'm trying to also, as best I can, impart what I believe is very profound information, because I do believe that the world is going to get much tougher over the next couple of years, as
yes.
much as I dislike to say that. And people need to have heard this. And even if they just, if it appears to go in one ear and out the other ear, it's still in there. Because I've had many times when someone says something to me 20 years ago and I apparently had forgotten about it, and all of a sudden it made total sense to me. I mean, for example, just one example. I read the spiritual book probably 20, 30 years ago, and they said we are not punished by our sins. We're not punished for our sins, but by our sins, where our sins create the energy that causes us to punish ourselves.
Correct.
And that's something I've really pondered on, and really that it might sound like a strange idea, but I also had this guy on, Lars Tobias, and we talked about, that we are our own demons. We create our own hell, for want of a better word, and
yes.
we're punishing ourselves for our sins. So by us sinning, going against the higher law, we are
yes.
self-punishing it. We are punishing ourselves by, we're being punished by our sins, not for
it's
our sins.
Also,
it isn't like there's a judge sitting there.
It's also important to understand in the day-to-day life, once mm-hmm. we understand it's us, you know, Roger, once we understand the bigger picture, you know, because
sure.
I work with grief. A lot of people lose children, which is, of course, the ultimate tragedy. And I
yeah.
can see the difference between parents that lose children that are spiritual, meaning open to the concept that their son, daughter, perhaps simply was done with this incarnation. Not every incarnation we sign for 90 years. Sometimes
sure.
the soul signs for 9 years. Sometimes we die because of karma, because the soul needed to balance the energy. So when you open to that world or tragedies, you're able to deal with it better. Because when I deal with couples that either religious or don't believe on spirituality, the mind just sucks you in about what did I do wrong? It's my fault. I didn't take care of my child. I could have done better, should have done better. Or it's God. God did it to me. It's because I was bad. On and on and on the mind go. So I teach people, become spiritual, because it would certainly help you in this difficult planet, and as you say, would become worse, rightfully so, as well as tragedies. There's a huge difference when you look at it, that everything underneath the chaos is organized, does have manner, everything is in a fair way. Even when we do bad, we're going to carry the consequences, but essentially that's also fair, because we're the one decided to act in a negative way. So that's the difference between the two. Why I have such a great passion to tell people, entertain the spiritual concept as to why are we, what are you doing here? Read books about life after death. Awaken your memory. The information I have, Roger have, the listeners have, everyone have. It's just what we have when we arrive to planet Earth is a spiritual amnesia. We wiped up the memory of who we are as souls, that this temporary planet is just a school. The creator is energy, that we are fearless, you know, beings, if you will. So you need to awaken that memory, because once you awaken who you are, you'll be able to face this world easier, and you'll be able to detach or distance yourself from tragedies. So that's also why it's so important to look at your life from the perspective of the soul, as I call it. Just once again, just a word.
Yeah. No, I think this is very important. And like I said, one of the reasons I wanted to do this show is because, like I said, it's kind of like this information might go over some people's heads, but I think down the road, just like I've had a lot of times when someone told me something, and apparently went in one ear and out the other, and it didn't seem to stop anywhere in between, and yet down the road, it was very valuable information. And like I said, because I do see that, unfortunately, we as a species need to learn some more lessons, probably primarily through pain, before we turn things around. It's good to have stuff like this being put out now while things are still relatively benign, so people will be able to hear stuff like this and they'll have access to it in their subconscious mind. It'll just suddenly pop up. Because I found that over the years that, a lot of stuff that, like I said, apparently had forgotten about, and, suddenly I remembered it. Like I was talking about, that you're punished by your sins, not, for your sins, and stuff like that. I didn't remember where it came from, to be quite honest with you. I couldn't locate the quote if my life depended on it. Well, I probably could online. But anyways, the point is, I don't even have the book anymore. What I wanted to do, we got about, like, I think 10 minutes left. I wanted to, you could talk about your most recent book and your services and what you do, and so people can get some idea of what you're about.
You know, my main thing is really to teach people that we are not alone, because we do feel lonely, Roger. And the seemingly different bodies we have and life circumstances, we really are all the same, obviously. Not only that we all, energy being, created by the same force, is we all here to learn, which why I learn over the years working with people. And I really, it's great passion for me to tell them that you're not alone. You know, people come to me and they're so lonely and they cry here in my office, and then they just accompany by an entourage of so many beautiful spirits and their departed loved ones, and just so. Again, people need to help themselves to grow spiritually. They need to do the work. Otherwise, that planet would be double difficult, and tragedy, which we all eventually, sooner or later, will encounter some sort of a tragedy to one extent, would just crush them, because I see the difference between being a spiritual aware human being or an aware human being and one that only led by the five senses. What I see, what I hear, that's what matters, Mickey. No, I don't see angels, and therefore I don't think they're there. So just open yourself up a little bit more. You know, there is a lot of great material out there, authentic, beautiful spiritual teachers. Read, learn, meditate. You know, meditation is a word that people often don't want to hear about. You know, when you were talking about when you drive, Roger, essentially that's a form of meditation, that you are able to connect. So meditation doesn't just have to be 7 days a week, hour long, close the eyes. No, it just means quiet your mind a little bit, review your life, your weaknesses, pray. I don't necessarily mean religion pray. Ask what you want, because there are spirits out there listening to you, of course. Pray for planet Earth. Spread love. You know, often spirits ask me to teach people to tell one another, I love you. If you pay attention to people now, people are so guarded and so nervous, and they're telling, love ya. Or they say, me too. And it's amazing that spirits actually ask me in lectures to say, I love you. Whether it is a friend, an email, stranger, and certainly loved one. It's not going to kill you. You're not going to die. And now I get email and it's on, I love you. But the point is that they do. They say, use the word, I love you, because people are nervous of it. Even my own family, I can tell. It took my brother a while. I said, I love you. And he's like, hey, me too. No, you can tell me I love you. So teach, spread love, the point is to what the main essence of my work. And if I may really quick is to tell people that, if I may say so myself, I came with a really fantastic book that's coming up in October, Teach About Spirits, and I put a lot of knowledge that I gather over the years. So it's in the publisher hands, so it's going to be out in a few weeks. So would be greatly appreciated if people would check it out. And I know it sounds like a sale, but it's certainly not. I think it would contribute to people's spiritual awareness and connection to their higher self. So so just to check out Soul Secrets, which coming up as well.
So, no, but, well, first of all, I have no problem with people selling things as long as it's things of value. What I don't like is people selling things like wars, which they themselves aren't going to fight in. But if you're selling something of value, that's fine. It's just like someone selling, like, the cleansing products I bought. You know, I have no problem with the fact that someone sold them to me because they're of value to me. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with selling at all. I mean, but you have to be selling. You have to be from a moral point of view right off the bat.
Yes.
And also the thing about I love you, that actually brought tears to my eyes, because when my mom died, I was with her 20 minutes before she died, and the final thing I said to her was, I love you. And I walked out, and then 20 minutes later, she had a heart attack and died.
You know, your mom was pleasantly surprised of the spirit world. I don't know if she did not quite believe of continuation of the soul after death, or was religious or fearful, but once her soul exited her body, she was pleasantly surprised and was just free. I mean, she's right here, and she really proud of you. Obviously, every mom proud from her son, but it's almost like what she's saying, essentially, that what you were in like high school or teenager, she wouldn't imagine the man you would have become. So she's proud of you. I mean, there's a great amount of proud. And she's bringing you pennies, coins.
Penny?
Yes. If you find a penny or a coin, pick it up, and that's a sign from mom. Please pay attention to that and don't miss it. You know, she's kind of tough.
She was very tough. I mean, that she survived as long as she's in the nursing homes and hospitals. And if people want to know about that, they can listen to the episode with Rebecca Carly where I did a lot of crying. A very painful show to show. But I do this because the information has to get out there, and I'm this is part of my purpose here. It's good information out, but I know she wasn't sure if she believed or not. She didn't seem to have much religious faith, so that makes a lot of sense. And you know, I've always just hoped that she was in a better place, because I thought she suffered. I mean,
she's very
surreal.
much back home and in peace, very much. So love you immensely, Roger, and she's trying to make her presence known to you. So just pay attention to signs and sense, Mom, because really you were loved. You were loved in general. You have a lot of pleased spirits that are quite grateful for your work here on planet Earth. So keep up the good work, Roger. You're doing good.
Thank you. Like I said, yesterday was her birthday, so I've been, you know.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, I actually did a show with Marty Oakley on the anniversary of my mother's death, talking about the subject. So, but you know, it's because this is very important to me to do. And this is why I'm doing this. And, you know, I'm sure I'm not doing this for the money or something. And, but, you know, I'm doing this because it's work that has to be done. So I really appreciate that. And, you know, like I said, I'm, you know, and like I said, I'm really actually still feeling that about my mother. So and it was her death that really spurred me into doing this stuff, because I realized that, you know, I had to do something important with my life, and it helped me wake up to a lot of very unpleasant reality, which at the time was extremely painful. So I really got into David Icke and other things, and, you know, it did help me, but, you know, I just want to know if she's in a better place. That's all I care about. So,
Anyway, she is, Virgil. That was a really delightful, and I greatly appreciate you giving me the opportunity to spread my teaching, if you will.
I really appreciate, I'm glad that you're on. Maybe we'll do it some other time, because I'd love to learn more about your stuff, and I'm sure our audience would too. Okay, well, I know you need to get going now, so we will end it here, and I'll just, you know, I'm glad to hear my mom's in a better place, because I was actually thinking about during the show asking you about her, but I didn't feel it would be appropriate. But,
yes,
you know, just,
that's why spirits can be quite pushy. And if you don't ask, they will talk.
But
thank you, Roger. Thank you very much. And I hope I'll come again one time. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you very much, Mickey.
Take care.
And with that, this is Roger North signing off for True North. Thank you. Goodbye.